on Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Tonight, Michael Brown joins me here.
He's the former FEMA director.
Talk show host Michael Brown.
Brownie!
Now.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Broadcasting live from Denver, Colorado, it's The Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you join the program today. You know, a couple of rules of the engagement. If you want to interact with the program, the easiest way to do it, obviously, is to send me a text message, which you can do anytime you want to. Podcast, live, delay, doesn't make any difference. On your text message app, the number is 33103, 33103. Use the keyword Mike or Michael, and then be sure and follow me on X, formerly Twitter, at Michael Brown USA. That's the one I'm most active on. You'll find all the others, too, but anyway, let's get started. What a week. One, it was a fast week. Two, it was a busy week. And three, there was a hell of a lot of stuff going on. So let's work backwards if we want to, because to me, the most amazing news occurred with the Supreme Court decisions that started getting released on Friday. And I think the biggest one, the one that sparked the biggest, discussion on within the cabal, was the case of Trump versus CASA. That was the case that involved all of these national injunctions, these nationwide injunctions, however you want to phrase it. The court ruling in that case really did ignore a firestorm of debate. My wife gave me the ugliest look yesterday because I know I'm weird, but I love to read Supreme Court decisions, and I was particularly interested in this one for a couple of reasons. One is because I've always believed that these nationwide injunctions were unconstitutional, and I believe they went far beyond the authority of a federal district trial judge, which is the lowest level in the federal judicial system. Those trial judges are generally under Article 3 and under the statute that creates them, limited to cases and controversies, which means they're limited to deciding cases that are in front of them. So if it's Brown versus Smith, it's Michael Brown versus Joe Smith, and we're suing each other on a contract issue or even a constitutional issue. I think that, you know, Joe Smith has violated my constitutional rights. The judge is limited to those two parties, and his decision has to be about the case or the controversy between those two parties. I really do want you to understand this because I want to get into some more detail about the case. So it's limited. They're limited to cases and controversies, and those are cases and controversies regarding the parties that are in front of that judge. So when the ruling comes out, the ruling applies to those two parties. If I am, let's say that I am Donald Trump, and Brown versus Smith is a case going on in federal district court in Denver, Colorado. Well, the judge cannot issue a ruling that affects someone who is not a party to the case. So if Donald Trump, sitting in, you know, at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, has not intervened in the case, he's not filed as a third party defendant or even a third party plaintiff. He's just not a party to the case. Well, then the ruling, whatever ruling that the judge makes about Brown versus Smith, applies to Brown and Smith, nobody else. So it doesn't affect Donald Trump. Think about another example. Let me give you this. In fact, this is a case a fact situation that is described in the court decision. You have neighbors that are fighting over noise. And, you know, because Michael, my producer, he and I are neighbors, and he's holding a backyard, you know, 4th of July barbecue party, and the noise is too loud, and he does it every single weekend, not just 4th of July, but every weekend he holds a barbecue, and every weekend he's got the loud music playing, he's got the boom boxes and the stereo and everything playing, he's got both of his friends, because that's all he's got, he's got both of his friends, but they invite all of their friends. And his backyard's got 100 people, and it's noisy and crowded, and I'm trying to go to bed early, and I'm sick of it, so I file a lawsuit about a public nuisance. He's creating a public nuisance. It's too noisy. So it's Brown versus Cosio in federal district court in Los Angeles. Well, if the judge enters an injunction telling Michael Cosio, my producer, that, hey, cut out the noise on the weekend. Well, guess what? That injunction benefits the neighbor that's next, you know, that's two houses down or a house behind me or three houses down, but the injunction does not apply to them. They just benefit from it. But they weren't parties to it. So they can't claim any sort of rights or anything else. And if they wanted to, on their own, go after Michael Cosio for making too much noise, they could have beat me to the punch and filed that lawsuit earlier, but they didn't do it. I was the one, because I'm just an a-hole and I wanted to shut down the party. Well, I don't care about shutting down the parties. I just wanted to be quiet. But they're not part. The other neighbors aren't parties to it, yet they still benefit from it. Now, if it involved money damages or anything else, nobody would think that they're entitled to the money damages because they weren't parties to the lawsuit. The court goes on, and I'll get into more detail in this just a minute, but the court goes on to describe, for example, under Federal Rule of Civil Procedure number 23, Rule 23, you may hear a lot of this from, you know, other lawyers, those are class action lawsuits. And Rule 23 has very specific and rigorous tests to determine a class. So that if I think, I'm sitting here looking at my MacBook Pro. If I think Apple Computer has a design flaw, or they're failing to, you know, their battery life isn't what they advertised or whatever, and I want to sue Apple Computer for a class action, then there are very specific requirements that my lawyers have to go through to define the class, who are all the people affected by Apple's failure to, or has been misleading about battery life or anything else. I've got to very well define that class. And there's all sorts of procedures that you have to go through that the court will very specifically define the class. And then at some point, if I win the lawsuit, you've gotten these emails before. Hey, there was a class action lawsuit, and the class action lawsuit involved everybody that bought, I don't know, Folgers coffee for a certain period of time, or, you know, bought a BMW or a Ford Kia or a Tesla, and you're entitled to compensation. You don't have to do anything, but if you owned or bought or did something in a certain period of time, you're a member of that class and you're going to get compensation, but you have to file some sort of, you know, claim. You've got to put your name in and say, yes, I did that, or I bought something and I'm part of the claim. And then you'll get a check. I got a check one time for literally 35 cents. in a class action lawsuit. Well, the court said, if you want to include everybody else in the country, then the remedy for that is a class action lawsuit. It's not a nationwide injunction. So back to the case. The firestorm in this case, Trump versus CASA, is not just for its implications on executive power, but also because the justices are starting to snipe at each other. And it's freaking hilarious. We'll get to that in a minute. It's The Weekend with Michael Brown. Follow me on X. It's at Michael Brown USA. Be sure and subscribe to the podcast, The Situation with Michael Brown. Hit that subscribe button. Leave us a 5-star review so we can get up higher in the algorithms. I'll explain why this sniping is hilarious next.
What if you could unlock over $1 million in personal and business credit? That's exactly what Ray Reynolds can do for you. I'm talking about protecting your family and building your business with $100,000 in personal or business cash credit. And Ray can help you rebuild your credit score to 750. Ray Reynolds isn't just any expert. He helped the security chief of TRW that became Experian, one of the most trusted credit bureaus. If you're looking to get your finances on track, Ray is the man you should call for a 750 credit score. Call Ray at 800-427-5991. 800-427-5991. Join his live webinars and attend his weekly workshops to learn the insider strategies for hitting your personal and business goals. Ready for a 750 credit score and your first $100,000 in credit? Call Ray Reynolds now at 800-427-5991. That's 800-427-5991.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website, havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
John Cruz here with America Outdoors Radio. Be sure to tune in this weekend and catch the latest in fishing, hunting, conservation, and destinations. If you love spending time in the field or on the water or in the woods, you're going to love this show. It's America Outdoors Radio, the fastest growing outdoors radio show in the nation. Tune in Saturdays from noon to 1 p.m. on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Summer travel is here, and it can be tough on a vehicle. Whether it's dust or dirt, pollution or road grime, stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. They offer car wash packages starting at $11. Quick and Clean's gentle, automated pull-through wash includes a hand scrub pre-clean and a personal towel dry exit. Save money, save water at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Thanks for tuning in to The Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. We're talking about Trump versus CASA, the national injunction case that finally reached the Supreme Court decision, which was released. You know, the way these court decisions, just a little inside baseball, the way the courts reach these opinions is after they hear the oral arguments, at some point the justices and their clerks go into a conference room and they kind of get a general feel of, you know, how's everybody feel about this case? And they get a general feeling, and then they excuse the clerks, and they have a, sometimes, well, apparently, I think in this case, they had a knockdown drag out. There's probably some yelling and screaming going on, because the opinion is unlike any opinion I've read in my entire life. Now, I've not read every Supreme Court decision ever handed down, but I've read a hell of a lot more Supreme Court decisions probably than you have. And this one was just freaking hilarious because they're really sniping at each other. But once they kick the clerks out of the conference room and they kind of figure out, you know, where everybody stands on the case, then the Chief Justice will assign one of the justices to write the opinion and will, you know, the dissenters, the minority, will decide, you know, who's going to write the dissenting opinion. Then they go back to the respective offices, and whoever's writing the majority opinion starts writing that majority opinion along with their clerks. The clerks really do write it, although the justices themselves will basically say, here's what I believe, here's what I think the reasoning is, and they start writing the opinion. And then once the draft is kind of in a form for everyone to start picking apart or, you know, saying, well, I would say this, or the majority circulates among all of the justices. They all get to see the majority opinion. And so that helps the dissent to start writing their opinion. Then when the dissent gets their opinion, they start circulating all of those. So everybody gets to see what everybody else is writing, and that goes through all sorts of iterations until they finally reach the final opinion. Even when the final opinion is ready, if there's something in there that the Chief Justice thinks is inappropriate, like attacks on other judges, on the other justices, the majority group can decide, whoever's writing the majority opinion, hey, why don't you take that out? Or let's soften the tone down. Let's change the language a little bit. In this case, they left it in there, which means that the Chief Justice, along with the five others in the majority, saw what was written about Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, and they left it in there. And I think rightfully so. I went through, as I said, I read the entire opinion. I honestly didn't read every word of Justice Sotomayor's dissent, but just enough to get really her reasoning, because I wanted to understand her reasoning. And then I read all of Ketanji Brown Jackson's dissent, because it really is one of the most important. If I were grading it, if I were still a law school professor and I was grading it, I would have given her a D, maybe an F, because it's political. It's not, I mean, she tried to throw in a few case citations, but very few, if any. It was pretty political. And in fact, legal scholars and court observers describe her dissent as both provocative and polarizing. Her dissent, characterized by even others as alarmist, drew a pointed rebuke from Justice Amy Coney Barrett. And I think that signals some deep tensions within the court over the role of judicial restraint and the limits of injunctive relief. So let's get to the case, handed down yesterday, Friday, the 27th. It addressed the contentious issue of these universal injunctions, court orders issued by district judges that block executive actions nationwide. In other words, it affected parties beyond the immediate plaintiffs. And in this particular case stemmed from challenges to President Trump's executive orders, which faced a barrage of harsh injunctions from lower courts. And all the orders sought to halt the policies ranging from everything from immigration enforcement to government downsizing. And it sparked, I believe, rightfully so, accusations of judicial overreach. As I said earlier, the decision was 6-3, and the Supreme Court ruled that federal judges do not have the authority to issue nationwide injunctions that extend beyond providing the relief to the individual plaintiffs in front of that judge. Amy Coney Barrett, writing for the majority, effectively, she argued that these sweeping injunctions disrupt the balance of power, effectively allowing a single district judge to halt executive actions across the entire country. Now, it is a procedural victory for the Trump administration, but it's even more important than that, in my opinion. Justice Brown Jackson, the court's newest member and a Biden appointee, a DEI appointee, in my opinion, wrote a dissenting opinion that's drawn praise and criticism for its impassioned tone. And I want to emphasize, I do believe it's an impassioned tone. She's making a political argument. She warned the majority that their decision creates a zone of lawlessness where the executive branch could act with impunity, unchecked by judicial oversight. And she argues that restricting universal injunctions somehow undermines their role as judges in safeguarding the constitutional protections, allowing the executive, in her words, to continue doing something that a court has determined violates the Constitution. That language is amazing because it departs from the measured tone that is typically associated with Supreme Court opinions. She describes the ruling as an existential threat to the law, suggesting that it could actually encourage executive lawlessness, that it could erode public trust in democratic institutions. It resonated with those protesters outside the court who carry signs decrying the decision as a blow to democracy. There are some legal analysts that note that her rhetoric actually echoes the fervor of those demonstrators, which kind of raises the question whether her opinion was tailored more to public sentiment than it was to legal reasoning. Now, Justice Barrett, writing for the majority, did not let Jackson's dissent go unanswered. In a sharply worded response, Barrett described Jackson's position as extreme and at odds with more than two centuries worth of precedent. She accused Jackson of advocating for an imperial judiciary that oversteps its constitutional bounds while decrying, ironically, an imperial executive. So she was saying, in layman's terms, you sit and kind of bitch and moan about an imperial executive, but what you would do is replace it with an imperial judiciary. That critique was joined by a majority of the justices, and that is a rare move, and that underscored the depth of their disagreement with Justice Jackson's approach. I would just simply say this to non-lawyers. Justice Brown Jackson actually sounded like a member of Congress. She sounded like a protester. She sounded like a talking head on television. She didn't sound like she had very little legal reasoning. She sounded like somebody on MSNBC. I know that shouldn't surprise you, but I find it disappointing. Much, very, very disappointing. So what's her judicial philosophy? I think her judicial philosophy is one of politicism. Oh, let's look at the political aspects, not the legal aspects. I'll tell you why next.
You're listening to The Weekend with Michael Brown.
This is how we do. Nobody do it like we do. It's so show us the love. This is how we do. We make a move and act a fool. Silver is the precious metal of the future. Judge Napolitano here. Since 2020, the silver price has risen as much as 190%. Why? In each of the last 4 years, rising demand for solar and electric vehicles alone has put silver supply into a deficit. But now there's another industry. AI, data centers, robots, and quantum computing could require so much silver that silver supplies could be obliterated.
Could silver rise another 190% within 5 years? Find out in Lear Capital's new report, The AI Revolution.
I bought silver and my investment is up 46%. With billions being poured into AI, it makes sense to consider silver.
Call now to get your free report, The AI Revolution and Record High Silver. Also ask how you can get up to $15,000 in bonus silver. Call 800-248-1050. 800-248-1050.
800-248-1050. Hi, this is Linda Fott. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum, the host of Frontlines of Freedom, the nation's largest military news and talk radio show. We address the most pressing issues facing the security of our nation, our armed forces, our veterans, and their families. Please join us every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, KCNR, your talk radio show.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822. Or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month, starting at 8 a.m., for the Gorman Law Hour, featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, Attorney at Law, during the Gorman Law Hour, starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Now, this is Carl Bott
and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Tonight, Michael Brown joins me here.
He's the former FEMA director.
Talk show host, Michael Brown.
Brownie!
Now.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
The Weekend with Michael Brown.
It's the Weekend with Michael Brown. Thanks for joining in. Glad to have you with me. We're talking about the Supreme Court case. So it really raises a question about, and I don't want to get too legalese here, but people often, people have judicial philosophies. And, for example, I've talked about my view of what judges should be doing, and that is to look at the plain meaning of the language of a statute, and then taking the plain meaning of those words, you apply that to the facts of a case. Originalism. What do those words mean? And how do you apply that? And if you have, if maybe the meaning of words have changed a little bit, what's the original meaning of the words when that statute or that constitution was written? And apply it to today's facts in front of the court. Well, since she joined the court in 22 as the first black woman and a former federal public defender, she's emerged as this kind of vocal member of the court's liberal wing. And her dissents in cases have criticized the conservative majority for favoring moneyed interests and applying legal standards inconsistently. Well, first of all, moneyed interests is a phrase that frankly shouldn't be in a judicial philosophy. It doesn't make any difference how rich or poor you are. It doesn't make any difference whether you're a corporation or an individual. I mean, in some technical sense, it might, in some cases. But to have a philosophy that says moneyed interests just screams that you are, what, focused on class. And we shouldn't be focused on class or how wealthy or poor you are in a legal proceeding. There was a case called Diamond Alternative Energy, where she accused the court of contorting the standing doctrine, in other words, do you have the right to be in front of a court, as trying to benefit the fossil fuel companies. And then she warned that that kind of decision damages the court's reputation as an impartial arbiter. In a case called Stanley, she sparred with Justice Gorsuch over textualism, which is, what's the text mean? Accusing a majority of using that as some sort of pretext to achieve the desired outcome. So that's kind of positioned her as a justice unafraid to challenge her colleagues, which is fine, but doing so in an approach that is more about her political philosophy and not her judicial philosophy. And I just think that's wrong. And despite that criticism, excuse me, Jackson's dissent, as you would expect, has found a very receptive audience among progressive legal scholars and legal activists. Michelle Goodwin, she's a constitutional law professor at Georgetown, and she's quite liberal. She's just the opposite of Jonathan Turley, for example. She praised Jackson for calling upon her colleagues to uphold the commitment to equal justice and argued that Jackson's bold statements reflect a deep understanding of how judicial decisions affect ordinary Americans, particularly marginalized communities. I thought we were all equal. Whether you're in a marginalized community or not, the law should apply to everyone the same. Slate, the New Republic, obviously very liberal, magazines, come out and support her. In fact, in an article entitled "Ketanji Brown Jackson Wants to Save the Supreme Court from Itself," the New Republic argued that her dissents highlight a dire problem of corporate favoritism. I mean, it's just absurd. But it also, this case underscores a broader tension within the Supreme Court, which is facing declining public trust. There was a 2024 Pew Research Center survey. It found that 51% of Americans view the court unfavorably, historic low. And now Jackson's dissent with its warnings about the court's legitimacy actually taps into that kind of sentiment. But her approach risks actually making the problem worse because the very polarization that she critiques, she's creating. So this public sparring between Barrett and Jackson, as a which some has described as a virtual slugfest, is unusual for a court that keeps that kind of stuff behind the scenes and focuses squarely on the legal issues. There are some reports out that suggest that personal feuds among the justices have gotten even more tense. Justice Barrett, writing for the majority, spent 900 words dismantling her arguments. That's very unusual. And for Jackson, her dissent marks a very defining moment in her tenure. Her willingness to speak out, even at the cost of alienating colleagues, positions her as a leading voice for the liberal wing. But her critics argue that her rhetoric risks undermining the court's authority because it's going to fuel perceptions of partisanship. So the Trump versus Casa ruling and the ensuing clash between Barrett and Jackson, this is a real pivotal moment for the Supreme Court, because at stake not only is it the scope of judicial power, but the tone and tenor of the court's public discourse. While Barrett's majority opinion tries to rein in judicial overreach, Jackson's dissent sounds an alarm about the erosion of checks and balances. So as a country, while we're grappling with these competing visions, one thing becomes clear. The Supreme Court is now a battleground for the soul of American jurisprudence. You know, when you have, and I think this is brought on by the Democrats, who for decades now have seen the Supreme Court as, this is how we're going to implement our political philosophy, because we can't get it done through Congress, and because now we're in the minority in both the House, the Senate, and we don't have the White House, we want the court to do what we can't get done politically, which means they're pushing all these political decisions onto the court, which is the last place they belong. It's a very interesting situation, and it's also a very precarious and dangerous position for the country. The court's supposed to be a neutral. You go back to Marbury versus Madison, very first decision ever decided by the Supreme Court. They ruled that in that case, that President Madison did not have the authority to do what he did, but they also recognized that they had no authority to enforce their decision. Meaning that all we do is just rule on whether something's constitutional or not constitutional, or something is within the statute or not within the statute. They have no enforcement power whatsoever. That's left to legitimacy. And what I think that Justice Jackson is doing here is destroying the court's legitimacy, because she's playing the political game that Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and Hakeem Jeffries and all the Democrat leadership want the court to play. I don't want the court to play political games, even when they rule against us. Even when the if the majority had been on Sonia Sotomayor's side, I would have disagreed with them. But as I said earlier, I respect her dissent, because her dissent makes a legal argument for why she would have ruled the other way. She just happened to be in the majority. Justice Jackson doesn't do that. She makes a political argument, not a legal argument. She's politicizing the U.S. Supreme Court. And I think this is why this majority opinion, in which they say there's no legal basis, there's in 200 plus years, there's no legal basis for what she says. There's no constitutional basis for what she says. And in fact, we would argue that she wants to get rid of what she believes to be an imperial presidency and substitute an imperial presidency with an imperial judiciary. Those are scathing criticisms, meaning you don't know the law, sister. You don't know, not only do you not know the law, but you're trying to make us the king. You're trying to make us the ones that are going to say to the executive branch, an equal branch of government, you can't do this thing. And we're going to allow a trial judge in a single district court to halt you nationwide from doing what you want to do. You know, what's interesting about that is I can't do that. I mean, if I go sue, I shouldn't be able to, in my lawsuit in federal court in Denver, Colorado, the decision the judge makes there should not stop the president anywhere else in the country from doing what he's doing. Only in the case that I bring. And now the court has upheld that and said that is precisely right. Nationwide injunctions are unconstitutional. They're not even allowed under the statute that creates these Article III courts. So stop it. And they've remanded the case back, meaning that they did not address the underlying basis of one of those nationwide injunctions, which has to do with birthright citizenship. The court said, that's not the argument in front of us. The argument in front of us is about nationwide injunctions. We've decided that. We will wait and decide the birthright citizenship case if and when it finally gets to us. Now, I know that some on the conservative side are upset because they wanted that decided. But that wasn't the case in front of them. The case in front of them was whether or not all of these judges around the country can issue nationwide injunctions. And they answered that and said no. And if you want to try to do something on a national basis, there's already a rule for that, and it's Rule 23. And in fact, in some of the concurring opinions, supporting the majority opinion, they warned judges, don't start broadening the rules about class action, trying to enforce your thing to stop Trump by using class action lawsuits. You have to follow the law there, too. Very well-written opinion. I would say kudos to Justice Barrett because she followed the law, and then Gorsuch and Alito emphasized, don't try to do a runaround with a class action. If you're going to do a class action, you have to strictly follow those rules too. Wow. What a day for the Supreme Court. I'll be right back.
Aloha! Dreaming of sandy beaches and ocean breezes? JTV's Tropical Treasure Sweepstakes could make that dream come true. Enter for your chance to win a fabulous Hawaiian getaway for two with luxury accommodations, airfare, and spending cash. Plus, just for entering, get $30 off your next qualifying JTV purchase of at least $99 when you opt in for emails. Don't miss out. Visit jtv.com/sweeps and enter by August 3rd. JTV, where paradise awaits.
No one wants to leave behind stress for their family. That's why a trust or a will is so important. Without one, your assets might go to the wrong people or leave out loved ones. Also, probate is long, expensive, and often avoidable with a revocable trust. TrustandWill.com makes it simple to create a personalized estate plan. A trust or will provides clarity and peace of mind. Get 20% off on your estate plan documents by visiting TrustandWill.com/radio.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating.
Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
If you're tired of artificial intelligence and dishonest news, tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday at 8 a.m.
Join Nick Gardner and Doug Janke, two hosts who were educated at School of Hard Knocks. Get a layman's view of local government as well as our take on national and world events.
If you're woke, go back to bed. You won't like us.
This show's for educated voters, not for people that voted for Kamala Harris.
Tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday, 8 a.m. here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM.
Hey, Redding, save big on Black Bear Diner's new basket bundles. Get your paws on a choice of sandwich, side, and drink for only $11. A great meal at a great price. Basket bundles, now available at Black Bear Diner. Be sure to stop by for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Black Bear Diner just added 4 brand new and 4 returning classics to the menu. Black Bear Diner, 2205 Hilltop Drive. Get big value and so many choices at Black Bear Diner.
Black Bear Diner.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
That came out that backed religious parents that are opposed to LGBTQ plus school books. Also again in a 6-3 vote. The case Mahmoud versus Taylor challenged the Montgomery County, Maryland public schools, their refusal to notify parents or to even allow exemptions when LGBTQ plus content was included in early grade curricula. The decision overturned the lower court rulings. And I think will have a significant implication for how public schools all across the country handle religious objections to inclusive educational materials. It raised the question about whether the Montgomery Public County School System infringed upon the parents' rights under their First Amendment to exercise their religion when it included storybooks that had LGBTQ plus characters in its curriculum, without allowing the families to opt out based on religious beliefs. Justice Alito wrote in the ruling that parents challenging the board's introduction of the LGBTQ plus inclusive storybooks, along with his decision to withhold opt-outs, are indeed entitled to a preliminary injunction, because without an injunction, the parents will continue to suffer an unconstitutional burden on their religious exercise, and such a burden unquestionably constitutes irreparable injury. You know, how much longer do we have to deal with this? Because we've already dealt with it in Colorado. Because in Colorado we had, you know, we had the bake a cake case, and we had the website case. So Jack Phillips in the cake case refused to bake design a particular cake for a gay couple that wanted to get married. But Jack Phillips said, but I can sell you these cakes, and there are all these other places you can go too. So I'm not refusing to sell you a cake. I'm just refusing to design a cake for you, but I'll sell you cakes. But I just won't do anything LGBTQ plus. So that case ended up in front of the Colorado Human Rights Commission. and ultimately in the Supreme Court, and it got slapped down. And then we had another case where somebody else, and of course I think they're doing this just to test these people. They then went to a Christian website designer. Would you make us a gay website? And she said, no, I'll make you this website. I'll make you any other kind of website. I'm just refusing to make this kind of website. She was exercising her religious beliefs, her deeply held religious beliefs. I'll make you a website, but I won't include that stuff in it. And again, went to the Colorado's, Human Rights Commission, and again to the Supreme Court, and again to get slapped down. And now you have this case where the Maryland County School Board said, oh, no, we're not going to allow parents to opt out. How many more times does the Supreme Court have to say that, listen, if you have a deeply held religious belief, it is not unconstitutional to say we would like to at least opt our kids out. These are preschool kids. Who should have more control over what those kids read, a school board or the parents? Well, I argue that it's the parents. And if the parents want to opt out, the school should be required to provide an opt-out provision that would say, my kids don't have access to LGBTQ+ books. We're not outlawing the books. We're not banning the books. We're just saying, oh, those parents don't want their children to read gay, queer, whatever it is, books. I think, at least among my gay friends, they're like, yeah, that's pretty reasonable. Whether they're members of Gays Against Groomers or they're just gays that are conservative or they're just gays that are like, hey, you know what? We don't want to push our beliefs on anybody else any more than we want their beliefs pushed on us. Pretty much a libertarian live and let live philosophy. That's what the court basically ruled. These parents have deeply held religious beliefs, allow them to opt out, and by not allowing them to opt out, you're violating their First Amendment freedom of religion clause. It seems to be a fairly simple decision, but I don't understand why. I mean, you take a conservative like me. I'm pretty right-wing. Many people consider me to be a right-wing nut job. Yet I have lots of gay friends because I don't care. I work with a lot of gay people. I don't care. I don't think anybody should care. Even if it's against your religious belief, who am I to judge? I'm not the one making that judgment. That's up to them. And if someone believes that God believes that that is a sin, well, okay, I think you're free to believe that. And I'm free to believe that, okay, whether I believe it's a sin or not is immaterial. That's their life. Just like whatever religion you are, that's your choice. Do I think you ought to be Catholic instead of a Methodist or a Presbyterian or Hindu or whatever? No, you know what? Make your own choices. Just don't infringe on my choices. Wow. Why can we not just live and let live? I'll be right back.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 40-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term life insurance may only cost you about $100 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-770-0850. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance to buy $1 million of affordable term life for you. All you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-770-0850. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-770-0850. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. For affordable term life insurance, call 800-770-0850. 800-770-0850.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour at townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Trump says he will proceed to push his administration's policies after getting a major Supreme Court legal victory.
Now that the high court has curbed the power of lower courts to issue nationwide injunctions, the president said his administration will move forward.
We can now promptly file to proceed with numerous policies that have been wrongly enjoined on a nationwide basis.
Those policies include restricting birthright citizenship, firing probationary federal workers, freezing USAID funding, and allowing DOGE personnel to access Social Security data, among others. Greg Clugston, The White House.
On the Salem News program this week on Capitol Hill with Tony Perkins, House Speaker Mike Johnson of Louisiana said he hopes that whatever the Senate does to the big, beautiful bill as they pass their version this weekend, they hope, that it won't be too much of a change compared to the House version.
Well, the jury's still out on what those modifications are going to be. I will have to wait about 72 hours for the bill to lay over before we can vote, but the plan would be, in the shape that we can use it, then we'll pass it and approve it on probably Tuesday. It would also allow for the president to have a big, beautiful bill signing on Independence Day, and I certainly hope we can keep that deadline.
Senate Majority Leader John Thune says he remains hopeful the Senate can finish up its work on the bill this weekend.
This particular bill represents pretty much the totality of, not the totality of, but certainly a big part of President Trump's agenda. And we want to make sure that we deliver, at least on the domestic side of the agenda. And so we're trying to get as much across the finish line as possible.
The Senate set to convene about an hour from now at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, and lawmakers expected to take a procedural vote today to begin their debate on the bill, but there is still a long path ahead. More on these stories at townhall.com.
It's Mike Gallagher, host of the Mike Gallagher Show here, and when it comes to mortgages, I only trust the team that's helped me and my family more than once, Mike and Brian at Fellowship Home Loans. These guys are friends, believers. They built a company on biblical values that actually puts you first. In today's economy, with everything costing more, you need a lender who can help you make smart, strategic moves when it comes to real estate. Need cash for home improvements? Thinking about a HELOC or a refi to consolidate debt? Well, Fellowship Home Loans can help you do it faster and for less. Why? Because they're a direct lender, not a broker, no middleman. No unnecessary fees. That means fewer hoops, less waiting, and real answers from real people who care. Whether you're buying, selling, refinancing, or just exploring your options, Fellowship Home Loans will tailor everything to your unique needs. Get started at fellowshiphomeloans.com/MikeG. fellowshiphomeloans.com/MikeG or call 800-510-MIKE, 800-510-6453. Fellowship Home Loans, mortgage lending by the book.
Nationwide Mortgage Bankers, DBA Fellowship Home Loans, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 819382.
A busy week for space travel. SpaceX launched the first of a scheduled two Starlink missions in the pre-dawn hours this morning. Earlier this week, a private space mission to the International Space Station.
SpaceX's Falcon rocket blasted off from the Kennedy Space Center early Wednesday, carrying astronauts from the U.S., India, Hungary, and Poland.
One, ignition, and lift off.
Houston company Axiom Space arranged the deal, and India, Poland, and Hungary are sharing the more than $65 million per customer tab. The mission will last 2 weeks.
That is Donna Warder, energy advocate. Daniel Turner with Power of the Future says blackouts are becoming more common these days.
It's been hot, and I grew up in New York City. It's been hot a lot in New York City in late June, right? It does happen, but these brownouts are more and more common.
And he says that's because of the reliance on wind and solar. Breaking news at townhall.com. Police have detained six Americans in South Korea.
They allegedly tried to send 1,600 plastic bottles filled with rice, dollar bills, and Bibles toward North Korea by sea. Police say the Americans tried to throw the bottles into the water so they would float toward North Korean shores by the tides. They were detained on allegations they violated safety laws. Activists floating plastic bottles or flying balloons carrying anti-North Korean propaganda across the border has long caused tensions on the Korean Peninsula. Jason Walker reporting.
Fireworks are about as American as apple pie, but since a lot of those shells and paper rockets are imported from China, The American Pyrotechnics Association is among those urging officials to exempt fireworks from higher tariffs. You'll find more of these stories at townhall.com.
Experience the thrill of our $100,000 summer adventure. Swipe to win draw. Weekly drawings are from June through August, Thursday, 7 to 9 p.m., where you have a chance to win exciting prizes, including free slot play and cash rewards. Have a chance to win a brand new 2025 Ford Ranger in the final drawing. By participating, you could drive away in style. For complete details, visit WinRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Michael Brown joins me here.
He's the former FEMA director.
Talk show host Michael Brown.
Brownie! No.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Broadcasting live from Denver, Colorado. It's The Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you joining the program today. I just called an audible myself after that tirade about the Montgomery County School Board case. Maybe we should go through a little bit more of that, because I want you to really understand why it drives me nuts. And it's not that I'm, you know, I guess it's kind of ironic too that it's Pride Month, right? Pride Month. Well, let's walk through this case, because it, you know, Michael and I were talking during the break about how it really is, I mean, a true conservative. And maybe you disagree with this, and that's fine. You know, send me text messages all you want. But I really do believe that a true conservative can hold in their mind two facts that are seemingly opposite. One is that you may think that homosexuality is a sin, or that it's unnatural, or that it's not right, or it's wrong, whatever. And I say, okay, yes. At the same time, that we accept that if two gay people want to get married or live together or engage in those activities, then that's their choice. And you may or may not see it as an abomination or wrong or whatever, but nonetheless, that is their choice. Which I find interesting, because lots of other issues, we hold those two opposing thoughts in our brains about other things. But I guess because it's human sexuality, it becomes so much more controversial. I have a very good friend. I won't tell you how long I've known this person, because it's kind of like, holy crap, you're old if I told you how long I've known this friend. But Chris, if you're listening, you know, you and I had this conversation at lunch the other day. And his wife doesn't listen, so I'm not going to worry about it. His wife is vegetarian. And they were on an overseas trip. And I compared and contrast her vegetarianism with my grandson's girlfriend, who is, in fact, she's vegan, I think. She may be, you know, I think that's one step above vegetarianism. I'm not quite sure, because clearly I'm not, because I love my meat. But he was described, and let's go back to the grandson's girlfriend. Her attitude has always been that I'm not going to tell anybody if my wife and I wanted to take our grandson and his girlfriend out to dinner, she would never say to us, I can't go eat there or I won't go eat there. Her attitude has always been because I'm the one that is different and I'm in the minority. You go wherever you want to go and I will find something. Even if all I can do is just eat a salad, I'll just eat a salad. But I'm not going to impose my beliefs about veganism or vegetarianism on you. I'm going to accommodate you. And I think that's the way to do it. Now, would I say, well, let's only go to a barbecue place? I could, because she could eat, well, maybe not, depends on how they fix their beans. But if they fix their barbecue beans without any meat in it, then she can have that. Or she could have beans and coleslaw. She could have any number of things and not necessarily have to eat barbecue. She would find something. And I have the highest of respect for someone like that. My friend's wife, on the other hand, well, it caused problems. Because, you know, it's a group of, I think, maybe, gosh, there may have been 8 or 10 people traveling together, and they were in Asia. So, you know, and she's vegetarian, and everybody went, you know, they wanted to go eat sushi. They wanted to try, you know, all sorts of different kinds of food while they were in Japan. And she kept saying, well, no, I can't eat there. I can't eat there. I can't eat there. And finally, the husband didn't do it, but somebody else did. Somebody said, you know, we're sick of this. We're sick of trying to accommodate you. Why don't you try to accommodate us to some degree? And it was like a shock. Well, suddenly, I find this funny too, the vegetarianism got changed on the trip. Okay, well, I'll eat some chicken. Because she's not always been vegetarian. I'll eat some chicken. Well, that showed me that, oh, so she wasn't, why? As long as it was convenient, then she would adhere to her vegetarianism. But when it became inconvenient, well, then I'll give in a little bit. I say all of that because all of these beliefs we have about something is wrong or something is right, are we really going to be that strict and that absolutist? Or are we going to recognize that just as I don't want to get theological here, but I am to some degree. My salvation does not depend upon your salvation. My salvation is dependent upon me and how I live my life and my relationship, and I happen to be Christian, so my relationship with Christ. So that's my salvation is dependent upon me, not you. And if it was, if my salvation was dependent upon you, then I'm not going to be friends with you unless, of course, you are perfect, and nobody is perfect. I'm pretty close to it, but not quite. Michael's not nearly, he's not anywhere close to perfect, but we keep working on him. The point being, we're all human beings, and we all have these different choices, and we all make these choices. So let's get to this case, because I think this case is, again, about choice. So the case is Mahmoud versus Taylor. Again, one of the decisions handed down yesterday on Friday, June 27th. The basic issue is whether or not parents in Montgomery County, this is in Maryland, have a constitutional right to opt their children out of public school lessons that involve storybooks that have LGBTQ+ themes based on their religious objections. And the court said yes, 6-3. They found that the school board's policy of prohibiting and not even allowing opt-outs violated the First Amendment's free exercise clause. Here's the context. Back in 2022, Montgomery County Public Schools, which is Maryland's largest school district, they've got more than 160,000 students. They introduced a set of LGBTQ+ inclusive storybooks into their English language arts curriculum for pre-K through fifth grade. The objective of this initiative was to promote equity, respect, and civility by reflecting the diversity of families in the county. Now, stop and think about this. The whole objective of this curriculum was to inject equity, respect, and civility by reflecting the diversity of families in the county. But if you were diverse and you didn't want to include your children, even though you wanted to be civil about it, they wouldn't allow you to do it. Well, how is that promoting equity, respect, and civility when you wouldn't let you wouldn't allow parents to opt out of it, even if the parents were being civil about it? Hey, we just, you know, we would just prefer our children not be involved in that. These are the specific books that the court cited as being involved. Pride Puppy. That's an alphabet primer about a family whose puppy gets lost at a pride parade. Okay, well, whatever. Love Violet, about a girl with a crush on a female classmate. Born Ready, about a transgender boy sharing his gender identity. Uncle Bobby's Wedding, depicting a same-sex marriage. Prince and Knight, where two men fall in love after saving a kingdom. Intersection Allies, featuring diverse characters, including one using multiple pronouns. Okay, all right. Those are the books. I can see why some parents might not want their kids reading those books at pre-K level. Now, initially, the school board allowed the parents to opt out, but because of increasing opt-out requests, they got so many of them, which led to high absenteeism, they reversed the policy and said, you know what, no more opt-outs. That's when the loss, and that's when the fight started. It's the Weekend with Michael Brown. Text any message, tell me anything, 33103, keyword Micro Michael. Go follow me on X at Michael Brown USA. I'll be right back.
Silver is the precious metal of the future. Judge Napolitano here. Since 2020, the silver price has risen as much as 190%. Why? In each of the last 4 years, rising demand for solar and electric vehicles alone has put silver supply into a deficit. But now there's another industry. AI, data centers, robots, and quantum computing could require so much silver that silver supplies could be obliterated.
Could silver rise another 190% within 5 years? Find out in Lear Capital's new report, The AI Revolution.
I bought silver and my investment is up 46%. With billions being poured into AI, it makes sense to consider silver.
Call now to get your free report, The AI Revolution and Record High Silver. Also ask how you can get up to $15,000 in bonus silver. Call 800-248-1050. 800-248-1050. 800-248-1050.
This summer, stack the deck in your favor with a night of music, laughter, and Broadway magic with the Shasta College summer musical comedy, Guys and Dolls. Be enthralled by the talents of over 30 singers and actors as they bring this Tony Award-winning classic to life with unforgettable songs, dazzling dancing, and fast-paced fun the whole family will enjoy. Evening performances run July 18th through the 26th, with two matinees on July 20th and 27th, and a special ASL show on July 24th at the Shasta College Theater in Reading. Tickets are $20 for general admission, $15 for seniors, and just $5 for students. Reserve your seats now at shastacollege.edu/artsevents. Have some cool family fun this summer with the classic and affordable live orchestra musical, Guys and Dolls. Get your tickets today. See you at the show.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Have you ever wanted to unlock your musical potential? Cascade Curations not only has great music, art, and fashion, we also offer fun and exciting music lessons for all ages and skill levels. Whether you dream of playing the piano, guitar, drums, or vocals, our instructors will guide you every step of the way. With flexible scheduling and personalized instruction, you'll be playing your own tunes in no time. Don't just listen to music, create it. Call or text us at 530-255-4855 to book your first lesson. Cascade Curations, where we believe anyone can learn to play their own song.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Aksum, Ecuadorian Sumatra wrapper, Connecticut broadleaf binder, Nicaraguan filler, and ultimately a masterpiece cigar from the A.J. Fernandez factory. Complexity defines this stick. Notes of black pepper, cocoa, hickory, and nutmeg. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Welcome back to the Beacon with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. I'm having fun with these cases today because I'm sitting here thinking that, you know, in this audience all across the country, which is obviously a very diverse audience, I'm probably pissing some people off, and I'm probably having some people going, yes, and I'm having some people going, oh, my gosh, you know, whatever. And then I'm having my conversations with my producer in L.A., and we're just laughing our asses off because we're sitting here, and I just finished that last segment talking about how in what happened in this case is that in Montgomery County with these, you know, these LGBTQ plus IA, just can we just say, you know, gay books? I know that offends other people, but it's just so much easier. A sparsity of words, a sparsity of letters. Could we please? And I'm laughing about, wait a minute. You put this curriculum in place because you wanted to be inclusive, equity, and civil, and then when some people wanted to opt out, then you got your panties in a wad and said, oh my gosh, no, and we're not going to allow opt out anymore. And then during the break, the first thing that Michael said to me was, well, wait a minute. If you had so many opt outs, why didn't you just then take the few that were left that were opting in and just put them in a different classroom? And I'm thinking, brilliant. Somebody, and Michael, I'm going to quote you. If I misquote you, just tell me. But Michael said something about, I'm just a regular radio guy, and I just figured this out. And I said, don't beat yourself up. You're not a regular radio guy because you actually used your brain and thought about a solution to a problem that would have resulted in no Supreme Court case. That makes you exceptional because you used your brain. And most people today don't use their brains. They don't think critically about things. So the school board allowed parents to opt out. Then so many opted out that they reversed the policy and would not allow opt-outs. And they ceased giving notifications to the parents. So the parents were like, really? So they sued in federal district court. They argued that the policy forced their children to be exposed to ideas conflicting with their religious beliefs, and that violated their First Amendment right to freely exercise their religion. The Federal District Court and the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals denied the parents' request for an injunction because their ruling said that mere exposure to ideas conflicting with religious beliefs did not constitute a substantial burden on religious exercise. So they went to the U.S. Supreme Court, and they had oral arguments. Now, Justice Alito, who wrote the majority opinion, during oral arguments asked a question, and that was, why are opt-outs infeasible? Noting that the books conveyed a normative message about same-sex marriage and gender identity that did conflict with some parents' religious beliefs. He argued, for example, that Uncle Bobby's Wedding presented same-sex marriage as a perspective to be celebrated, undermining the parents' ability to instill alternative moral messages. And why couldn't you just, you know, take that group, set them aside, and if they want to read about it, they can, and others don't have to. The liberal justices, again, Sotomayor, Kagan, and Jackson, during oral arguments, they were all concerned about the broader implications of allowing an opt-out. Kagan asked whether parents could opt out of other subjects like evolution or interracial marriage, and if that conflicted with religious beliefs. Justice Sotomayor raised examples like divorce or women's achievements, questioning whether, you know, where the line would be drawn. The Trump administration filed an amicus brief. They supported the parents, arguing that the policy effectively coerced the parents to withdraw their children from public schools in order to comply with their religious objections, constituting a textbook interference with religious exercise. So then we get the ruling. The majority held that the school board's policy placed an unconstitutional burden on the parents' First Amendment right to freely exercise their religion. And they cited precedent going back to 1972, a case in Wisconsin which recognized parents' right to direct their children's religious upbringing. And Alito argued that the policy substantially interfered with the parents' ability to guide their children's religious development. And their reasoning is this. The books conveyed specific viewpoints. What were those? Well, you have to accept same-sex marriage. You have to accept gender transition. And that conflicts with their religious beliefs. And then not giving the parents an opt-out or any advance notice forced the parents to either expose their children to those messages or withdraw them from public schools. In other words, the school didn't do what Michael was suggesting. Oh, you want to opt out? Well, then we'll separate the class. The court applied strict scrutiny, that is the highest level of judicial review to the policy, finding that it was neither neutral nor generally applicable because it targeted religious objections by prohibiting the opt-outs while allowing exemptions for other reasons. Well, I just don't want my kid to be exposed to that, not because of a religious ground, but because I want to teach him about that stuff. Oh, well, then we'll allow you to opt out. But if you opt out on religious grounds, then we're not going to allow that. You have to think the school board was deliberately trying to create a controversy here. Now, this is going to inspire lawsuits in other states. No question in my mind about that. And in the broadest context, this is really expanding religious rights. And those who want to exercise their LGBTQ plus rights, such as the 303 Creative case, that's the website case, or in the Masterpiece Bake Shop case, no, there are other ways to get websites. There are other ways to get cakes. So this is just simply upholding what we've already recognized in previous cases. It reaffirms the court's precedent in Yoder and 303 and in Masterpiece. So at some point, we've got to recognize that this is a victory for religious parents that want to opt out of these things, and schools are to start recognizing that, you know what, parents have control over their religious beliefs and what they want their kids to learn in terms of religion. What? I'm shrugging my shoulders here. What's wrong with that? Nothing, in my opinion. Nothing whatsoever. It's the Weekend with Michael Brown. Hang tight. Oh, I'm not done with this topic because we're going to talk about another controversial, not decision. I mean, a decision, but not by the Supreme Court.
They're pounding on the door. They're calling on the phone. They're threatening to close your business. If debt has your business on the brink, call Ray Reynolds, the godfather of credit. For over 40 years, Ray Reynolds has helped thousands of customers get millions in cash credit. It's no wonder why they call Ray the godfather of credit. He may even be able to raise your score above 750 before the end of the year. You could even get a new personal or business credit line up to $50,000 within days. If your credit needs a rebuild, call Ray Reynolds and receive a $1,000 cash credit card at closing. Raise your credit score to 750 or more. Call Ray Reynolds at 800-627-3749. 800-627-3749. Learn about Ray's secrets to success and how he can fix and improve your credit score to 750 or more. Call the Godfather of Credit Rebuild, Ray Reynolds, at 800-627-3749. 800-627-3749.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. Have you been affected by some of the recent changes in business ownership here in Shasta and Tehama counties? These changes follow a national trend where national companies buy up locally owned small family companies and change the culture and staff and pricing of their product. That has occurred here in the North State also. Three locally owned propane companies have been purchased by large national companies. If you're like me and you prefer to deal with locally owned companies, you may be interested to know Shasta Gas Propane, which has been around for 28 years, now has the third generation working in the company. For locally owned, family operated service and care, give us a call at 530-365-3793. Thank you.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Kick off your Monday with our county's key stories. Tune in to KCNR at 6:35 a.m. for the Town Hall Brief during the Sue McClain News Hour. Known for its unbiased reporting, the Town Hall Brief offers crisp, local-only updates and lively discussions that matter to the community. Have a tip? Email townhallbriefs@gmail.com or connect via socials at Town Hall Brief on linktree.com to send a message. The Town Hall Brief, the trusted source for Shasta County News, Monday mornings at 6:35 on KCNR.
Need help with your health insurance? We've got you covered. At Shasta Community Health Center, we offer this free service to our community. Our enrollment counselors can assist you with new applications, renewals, troubleshooting, and answering your questions about covered California plans or Medi-Cal, also known as Medicaid or Partnership Health Plan. We're here to help you make the best choice for you and your family. Call our outreach and enrollment team at 530-229-5117 to get help today. Shasta Community Health Center, because SCHC cares.
Now open at Turtle Bay Museum, Discover Steampunk, an exhibition for all ages.
Featuring futuristic technology inspired by 19th century Victorian designs.
Steampunk reimagines steam-powered machinery and gadgets as modern inventions. Discover Steampunk is on display at Turtle Bay Museum by the Sundial Bridge in Reading.
And is produced by the Imagine Team, free for members or included with paid admission.
Discover this and much more at turtlebay.org.
The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years' experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help. We live here and care about our community and want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Do
you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Hey, welcome back to the Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. I did not intend the program to go the direction it is going today. I've got a lot of other things that I've got on my POS, my pile of stuff or piece of what, you know what. But I've kind of gone down this rabbit hole, and I'm going to keep going down this rabbit hole because there's another story that, again, has to do with LGBTQ that as long as we've been talking about these cases, let's talk about this, because yesterday, Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of Defense, ordered the renaming of the U.S. naval ship Harvey Milk. That ship is a John Lewis-class replenishment oiler. The announcement was made Friday, yesterday, June 27th. The ship's name was changed from the USNS Harvey Milk to the USNS Oscar V. Peterson. That's Mr. Peterson is a World War II Medal of Honor recipient who died heroically during the Battle of the Coral Sea. I first found this story, it was first reported on military.com back on June 3rd. I've had it confirmed by different sources, The Guardian, The New York Times, ABC News. It's a true story. He made the decision and made the official announcement yesterday. Now, these are the reasons that they provided for renaming. It's in alignment with Secretary Hegseth's warrior culture that he's trying to implement within the Pentagon. Let me just say up front, I'm totally in favor of a warrior culture in the Pentagon. I'm tired of the wokeness. I'm tired of all the DEI crap. I want men and women who join the military to meet all of the physical, the mental warrior requirements, and I want them to be able to effectively blow up things and kill people. That's what they do. There's an internal Navy memo that said that the renaming was to ensure alignment with the president and the SecDef's objectives and the SecNav's, the Secretary of the Navy, their priorities of reestablishing the warrior culture. And they framed this move as part of a broader effort to focus on military ethos over diversity initiatives. I don't have any problem with that objective. Their second objective is they want to take the politics out of ship Navy. I'm all for that too. I think ships ought to be named on those who represent the greatest military men and women in our nation's history. Those who have gone above and beyond the call of duty. And I don't think that you can argue that naming a ship after someone who is a Medal of Honor recipient who died during the Battle of the Coral Sea, to me, that individual personifies exactly the kind of person that we ought to be honoring by naming a ship after. He was a member of the U.S. Navy. He died during a Navy battle during World War II. He's a Medal of Honor recipient. So, yeah, I think that fits the mold of taking the politics out of ship naming. They imply, and again, I think rightfully so, that Harvey Milk's name is divisive. Now, do you know who Harvey Milk is? Do you know the background of him? Now, there are reports that you may hear that Harvey Milk was a child sex criminal. Let me disavow you of that. But that is going to go against the mainstream narrative that you're hearing, particularly in conservative media, and it's simply not true. And I'm telling you that as a lawyer. There are no, and I've dug everywhere, there are no credible records, there are no legal documents that indicate that Harvey Milk was ever convicted of any sort of child sex crimes. Now, these kind of allegations have been around for a long time. The best I can find, it started back in 2023 when Joseph Karomsky, who was president of the Temecula School Board in California, called Harvey Milk a pedophile. There was a debate over school curriculum, of all things, which we talked about in the last segment. Then that claim was widely debunked, but nonetheless got spread everywhere. Here are the allegations. The allegations stem from Milk's relationship with Jack Galen McKinley, who was 16 years old when they met in 1964. Harvey Milk at the time was 33 years old. The relationship, that's what gets cited by critics to suggest inappropriate behavior. In fact, I think a 33-year-old having sex with a 16-year-old is inappropriate behavior. But here's what everybody leaves out. The age of consent in New York where they met was 16, meaning that a 16-year-old could give consent to have sex with a 33-year-old, either same sex or opposite sex. So there is no evidence of illegal activity or coercion. Now, McKinley, the 16-year-old that Harvey Milk was having sex with, struggled with mental health issues and later died by suicide in 1980. But he was not a minor under the legal definition of the time, and their relationship was consensual. No charges were ever filed against Harvey Milk. There are no court records. There's no contemporary account that supports the claims of a child sex crime. But the allegations are often amplified by those who oppose Milk's legacy because of what? Harvey Milk was a gay rights icon in San Francisco. In fact, he was, Michael, do you remember, was he ever the mayor of San Francisco, or was he just on the board of supervisors? I forget which it was. But yeah, that's right. Yeah, the Sean Penn movie about Harvey Milk. That's kind of my understanding. But here's what I found out about, he enlisted in the Navy. He was born to a Jewish family in New York. He received an other than honorable discharge after being questioned about. Now, remember, this is 1955. He received an other than honorable discharge from the Navy because he was questioned about his sexual orientation. So he then, because of him being a homosexual, he was banned from the military. Now, his family later declined to have the discharge upgraded because they thought it was historically significant. Then after he was discharged, he worked in different jobs. He was a teacher, an insurance agent. He was a theater producer in New York. He lived a relatively closeted life, but was heavily involved in the gay community. He opened a camera shop in the Castro District in San Francisco, which became a community hub. Oh, this is why I kept thinking about mayor. He was called the mayor of Castro Street. He ran for the San Francisco Board of Supervisors in 1973 and 75. He lost, but he kept gaining visibility because of his gay activism. He eventually became the first openly gay elected official in the United States as a member of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors. That was a landmark in terms of gays being involved in politics. And, of course, it was obviously, San Francisco. He opposed Proposition 6, which was a California initiative to fire gay teachers. That proposition was defeated. Then he was assassinated along with Mayor George Moscone in 1978, I think. That made him a martyr for the LGBTQ+ movement. He was posthumously awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2009 by Obama. And then, of course, we got the movie, which was simply named Milk, starring Sean Penn. And he appeared on a postage stamp. That's it. Now, I'm not trying to diminish anything, but what in that background did I just tell you has anything to do with the military? He was other than honorably discharged. His family never tried to have that removed because he became this gay icon. And I think that is the reason that the Navy, during Biden's tenure, decided that it was time to name a ship after him. Do you think that's appropriate? Without, listen closely, without denigrating at all Harvey Milk's life, he was not a child predator. Having sex with a 16-year-old was perfectly legal in New York at the time. Whether I think it's morally right or wrong, I think it's morally wrong, but it was legal. So he was never charged or convicted of a crime. But is it appropriate to name a ship after him versus naming a ship after a Medal of Honor hero that died in World War II? If you want me to force a choice between the two, I'll choose the Medal of Honor recipient over Harvey Milk. But obviously, this is going to be controversial. And it's going to be controversial because people will argue that, oh, you're trying to erase his LGBTQ+ contributions, that it's intentionally timed during Pride, that there is some sort of moral concern about this, that there's hypocrisy in depoliticizing the claims. And, of course, I think most importantly, it's occurring during Pride Month. To which I say, so what? Is Pete Hegseth trying to make a point? Without a doubt he's trying to make a point. But if you set all of that aside, if I'd been the Secretary of Defense, I may have waited until July just to avoid the controversy, because now everybody's going to be all stirred up about it, and I think that's totally unnecessary. It's the Weekend with Michael Brown. The text line is always open as usual. The number's 33103, keyword Mike or Michael. Follow me on X at Michael Brown USA. I'll be right back.
Are you facing an unexpected financial emergency? You need WeFixMoney.com. WeFixMoney.com could help you get up to $3,000 fast. WeFixMoney.com is free to use, available 24/7, and has an A rating with a Better Business Bureau. Go to the name you trust, WeFixMoney.com. If you need emergency cash up to $3,000 for bills or anything else, type WeFixMoney.com directly in your browser. That's WeFixMoney.com. WeFixMoney.com.
Your life and your loved ones' lives depends on what you've done to prepare. Disasters, shortages, supply chain failures, they're not ifs, they're whens. Don't be left without life-saving medication. The Jace case is a prescribed set of emergency antibiotics, life-saving medications you have on hand before you need them, offering peace of mind, no panicking, fast, affordable, and could save your life. Go to JASE.com. Use code RADIO for a discount, because once the shelves are empty, it's already too late.
I'm Jack Potter Jr., tribal chairman for Redding Rancheria. We've proudly partnered with the Redding Rodeo Association for Native American Appreciation Night. As you know, our roots and hearts are here in this community and are proud of this partnership. From grants to help local businesses and government, to making health care available to so many, to our own community events like the Stillwater Powwow that happens right here on this same land. Redding Rancheria is proud to play our part.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction market. North Valley Distributing focuses on quality and reliability. Their products include fuses, batteries, wiring devices, connectors, lighting solutions, circuit protection components, and electrical tools and more. North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive, a proud sponsor of the Reading Colt 45s.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Aksum, Ecuadorian Sumatra wrapper, Connecticut broadleaf binder, Nicaraguan filler, and ultimately a masterpiece cigar from the A.J. Fernandez factory. Complexity defines this stick. Notes of black pepper, cocoa, hickory, and nutmeg. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
I'm Nathan with the Redding Trail Alliance, and we're here at the Redding Bike Park. We just want to thank the Redding Rancheria for all the help they've given us over the years supporting the many projects we're doing for our community.
Hi, I'm Dan, and this is Donna, and we're with Wings of Angels.
And we'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for their continued support over the years to our foundation.
Redding Rancheria. Proud to play our part.
Hi, this is Sue McClain from the Sue McClain NewsHour on KCNR. And I want to tell you about Kevin Wall Allstate Insurance at 2861 Churn Creek Road, Sweeby. A few years ago, my daughter's car was stolen, and my first thought was, where do I begin? Well, my first call, Kevin Wall Allstate Insurance at 530-222-2306. They walked me through the process and made it so much easier. So if you're looking for insurance for your auto, home, life, or business, call Kevin Wall Allstate Insurance at 530-222-2306. Hey, Redding, save big on Black Bear Diner's new basket bundles. Get your paws on a choice of sandwich, side, and drink for only $11. A great meal at a great price. Basket bundles, now available at Black Bear Diner. Be sure to stop by for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Black Bear Diner just added 4 brand new and 4 returning classics to the menu. Black Bear Diner, 2205 Hilltop Drive. Get big value and so many choices at Black Bear Diner.
Black Bear Diner.
Crime rates in Colorado are soaring. I think we were number one in auto theft. Whether we're still number one on this particular day or not, I don't know. But for several months in a row, we've been number one in auto thefts. Well, the Denver City Council has voted unanimously to shut down a highly successful anti-theft auto license plate tracking system. Now, I've got a few problems with these systems. They're called FLOCK, F-L-O-C-K. These are camera monitors. The contract in Denver was about $700,000. They had camera monitors around 70 different Denver intersections to screen for car theft. Now, I think it's a violation of privacy, but I understand why they had them up. What irritates me is, I know this seems contradictory. What pisses me off is why they took them down. They shut them down because the Democrat members of the city council, which, by the way, is all of them, believe that Immigration and Customs Enforcement could use that data to then report and deport illegal aliens. So they refused to renew the contract. The system that they refused to renew had resulted in the recovery of more than 170 stolen vehicles and more than 300 arrests. And it's also credited with key evidence in the investigation of hit-and-run and murder cases. Now, if the Democrats and the Denver City Council don't care if the country is being invaded, why would liberals care if we're murdered, right? Now, they confirmed their intent in putting a lens cap on these cameras. Councilman Kevin Flynn explained that it is all about Trump's election. Quote, "We know that it can help solve crime, but I think since maybe January 20th of this year, those concerns are greatly heightened and have a new reality about them. So Trump's election equals forget about crime. Councilman Sarah Parody, should be Parody and not Parody, she's quoted as saying this: "We're living in an era where just this last week, actually, an executive order came out instructing the Department of Justice and the FBI to look for reasons to prosecute local elected officials and activists who believe they are, quote unquote, obstructing ICE enforcement. This kind of surveillance technology is a gift if you have that kind of ill intent. And the federal government has that ill intent right now." Now, I find it freaking hilarious. Again, I hate traffic cameras. I think they disassociate society from law enforcement. But when your excuse for getting, look, I'd like to get rid of all traffic cameras. And not because I run red lights, not because I want other people to run red lights, or not because I want people to steal vehicles. I just think I think that is a, you know how we're kind of disassociated from the military? Because not many families have people involved in the military. Well, not many people have cops in their family either. And so cops are like they're like a segregated part of our society. Very few of us have any interactions with cops. So when you bust through a yellow light, or you actually run a red light, I want cops to stop you. I want a cop to be able to chew you out and say, hey, listen, you almost caused an accident. Cameras take all of that away. And I think they're intrusive, and I don't think they're always that accurate. But when you get to the point that you want to get rid of cameras that have actually been solving hit and runs, murder cases, have recovered 170 stolen cars, resulted in 300 legitimate arrests, not false arrests, and you get rid of them because Trump got elected, that tells you how serious Trump derangement syndrome is. We need to bring Dr. Fauci back and have him develop some sort of, jab, like the COVID jab, to get rid of TDS. And the place we ought to start trying it is in the Denver City Council. You know, if the FBI is going to be serious about prosecuting local officials for obstructing immigration laws, they might want to open an investigation in Denver, or maybe in your city, wherever you live. Because like most of our cities, Denver, any Democrat city, any Democrat-controlled state, has been absolutely lost to the dumbassery that goes on in those places. The crime rates are going to continue to climb. The same citizens in places like Denver are going to get the hell out. In fact, are getting the hell out of Denver. And what does that do? Well, that's going to assure the election of even more radical leftists, even more Marxists. So Denver, like Portland and Chicago and L.A. and New York, are just going to continue our descent down the Democrat death spiral. We're going down the Marxist toilet. In fact, I think we've already gone down the Marxist toilet. It's the Weekend with Michael Brown. Don't forget, follow me on X at Michael Brown USA. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Silver is the precious metal of the future. Judge Napolitano here. Since 2020, the silver price has risen as much as 190%. Why? In each of the last 4 years, rising demand for solar and electric vehicles alone has put silver supply into a deficit. But now there's another industry. AI, data centers, robots, and quantum computing could require so much silver that silver supplies could be obliterated.
Could silver rise another 190% within 5 years? Find out in Lear Capital's new report, The AI Revolution.
I bought silver and my investment is up 46%. With billions being poured into AI, it makes sense to consider silver.
Call now to get your free report, The AI Revolution and Record High Silver. Also ask how you can get up to $15,000 in bonus silver. Call 800-248-1050. 800-248-1050. 800-248-1050.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.